is some of our youth are being deceived. They are being injected with the idea that whatever unfortunate befalls their people comes from Islam. What have you seen of Islam that you say Islam brings misfortune?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience well this is Zainab Mousavi and what we do in this program is to listen to certain sentences of the great founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran Imam Khomeini رحمة الله عليه and then as his followers take some lessons from this great character in order to make use of them in our daily life. Well, on the subject of the oppressed land of Palestine, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, Muslim nations must think about saving Palestine. They should express their disgust and hatred for the compromising ways of the shameful, self-serving leaders who in the name of Palestine have ruined the aspirations of the people in the occupied lands and the Muslims in this region. Muslim nations should not allow these traitors to tarnish the prestige, reputation, and honor of the heroic Palestinian nation at the negotiating table. Well, this sentence of Imam Rahmatullah Alayh is about the necessity for Muslims to keep away from the doomed regime of Zionists and support Palestine.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala.
صلى الله عليه
صل يا
رسول الله
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله
Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi had spent 20 years warning all Islamic countries about the dangers of compromising with Israel. Recognizing Israel meant expressing solidarity with its fraudulent government, and it also meant separating one's path from the path of struggle. Naturally, this action was at odds with the path that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi had always emphasized. He called the Muslim nations to unite on the path to liberating Palestine and fighting the occupying regime in Quds. He also urged the Muslims to separate themselves from the path taken by governments who had compromised with the Israeli regime. The speech we are talking about in this episode was issued during Hajj in 1987 when Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh addressed the world's Muslim and the Hajj pilgrims. After that, whenever Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh would see any compromising action on the part of the leaders of Islamic countries, he would criticize them and remind them of the high level of danger that Israel posed. Okay, thank you very much for being with us in this episode. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. As a reminder, in a couple of episodes, we made you familiar with the views of John Foran, American professor of sociology from California University, on the character of the greatest leader of the past centuries, Imam Khomeini. Today, we are going to make you familiar with the views of Fred Holliday, who has made researches on international relations and West Asian issues. Stay tuned, please. Holliday was born in Ireland in 1946 and he died in 2010. He had graduated from Oxford University in 1967 and taught in the years 1985 to 2008 in the College of Economy of London. He was familiar with some languages such as Farsi, Arabic, Greek, Russian, French, and so on. Holliday had traveled several times to the West Asian region for his studies. He was a supporter of Soviet attack on Afghanistan, NATO intervention in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and the occupation and devastation of Afghanistan by the US. Fred Holliday's first book on Iran, titled Iran, Dictatorship and Development, was written in 1978, nearly 1 year before the victory of the Islamic Revolution. His next book, An Introduction to Iran's Revolution, was published for the third time. In the advent of the Islamic Revolution, he traveled several times to Iran. 30 years after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 2009, he pointed to the results of his unpublished studies in a conference in London, saying that the Islamic Revolution resembled 4 great revolutions in the world, namely the French, the Russian, the Chinese, and the Cuban revolutions. He tried to justify his claim with the convergence of all groups, Marxists, liberalists, and religionists, under the leadership of Imam Khomeini. The Irish researcher concluded that the revolution in Iran was the most modern revolution in the human history. Holliday also emphasized that the Islamic Revolution was a non-violent revolution. As an example, he mentioned the welcome accorded by the Iranian nation for Imam Khomeini as one of the greatest gatherings of human history, while it was devoid of any kind of violence whatsoever. Irish University lecturer Fred Holliday maintained that, unlike other revolutions, there has prevailed a high level of freedom of expression in the society after the victory of the Islamic Revolution. He admits that this magnitude of freedom of expression has been unprecedented in the world. Holliday opined that the world is yet to hear the word of the Islamic Revolution and this great nation. Fred Holliday considers the role of ulema, particularly Imam Khomeini, very effective in the triumph of the Islamic Revolution and writes, Iran's revolution was a public revolution from below against a tyrannical regime. The success of this revolution was owed to leadership of Imam Khomeini and the clergymen who cooperated with him. They not only formed the revolution's structure, but also promoted the ideology whereby the mobilization of forces was feasible. This researcher maintained that the ideology of the Islamic Revolution has 3 principles. The first principle was the belief which contained a novel understanding of Islam and made it possible to found an Islamic government in the modern world, with the leadership of Wali Faqih, as the pivot of the ruling system. The second principle was the division of the world to two poles of the oppressed or the downtrodden and the oppressors or the arrogant. These were indeed based on the Quran. The third principle was to bring all people from every class and stratum under the banner of Islam. In fact, Imam Khomeini's great work was to unite the whole nation around a single cause. Fred Halliday believed that many of the features of the Islamic Revolution specifically belong to this revolution and could not be traced in other revolutions or movements. Imam Khomeini's emphasis on the role of religion and ulema in administration of society and various affairs was among his great achievements. The Irish university teacher then says that Imam Khomeini's charisma was so strong and deep among the people, and people loved him to the extent that he led the Islamic Revolution ably in the first turbulent decade of the Islamic Republic, and the nation's unprecedented participation in his funeral approved the scale of their love to their leader. He writes, "Another point that was evident in people's reaction to Imam Khomeini's passing away is the great might which the revolution had gained among people despite all problems during the post-revolution era. The revolution and the eight-year war with Iraq were accompanied with a lot of disasters and hardships, but no doubt the Islamic Republic of Iran enjoyed extraordinary legitimacy."
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. This is A to Z. An Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Today's lesson: Avoiding Hidden Shirk. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have a hadith from the Holy Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Fear Allah in showing off, because it is a kind of shirk, polytheism. On the day of judgment, he who shows off will be called with four names: O wicked, O disbeliever, O deceitful, O loser. Your work came to nothing, and your reward was lost. No salvation awaits you. Go and ask the one for whom you have worked for salvation." Brothers and sisters, showing off is a very difficult topic to deal with, because these mixed motives that we sometimes have, that we will do some good act, but we are also seeking for someone else's approval, it's difficult to identify at times. Showing off indicates that the person does not fear Allah. Showing off indicates that the person is indulged in hidden shirk. Showing off is a sign of wickedness. We can tell from this hadith that we just recited. Showing off can amount to disbelief. Showing off is a form of deceit. Showing off makes one a loser in both the worlds. No respect in this world, no felicity in the hereafter. Showing off guarantees no salvation. And this is Prophet of Allah informing us about the evils and the downsides and the disadvantages of showing off. If you carry an action for the sake of Allah, try to maintain that sincerity in your intention. And inshallah, you will be rewarded in both the worlds. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing avoiding hidden shirk. And one of the ways somebody can do hidden polytheism, hidden shirk, is through showing off. We recited for you a hadith from Prophet of Allah before the break, and we're going to discuss a little bit more about how we can avoid performing a hidden shirk. The Prophet of Allah was asked for the interpretation of whoever hopes to meet his Lord, he should do good deeds and not join anyone in the service of his Lord. This is the verse of the Holy Quran. Prophet of Allah says, anyone who prays to show off is a mushrik. Somebody who commits shirk is a polytheist. Okay? And I'm going to continue reading this tradition for you. It's very important for us to let it sink in. The Prophet of Allah says, anyone who prays to show off is a mushrik, is a polytheist. Anyone who gives alms to show off is a mushrik. Anyone who fasts to show off is a mushrik. Anyone who sets out for Hajj for showing off is a mushrik. Anyone who performs any duty which Allah has commanded for showing off is a mushrik. And Allah will never accept the work of him who shows off. This is the Holy Prophet of Allah informing us about the evil of shirk. Shirk is not just worshipping idols. That's not all that is there to polytheism. Sometimes, unfortunately, while we are carrying out the commands of Allah, we are in the state of shirk. And we are being considered a mushrik, a polytheist. So let's watch out and inshallah try to avoid showing off to others, especially when we're doing something for the sake of Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Fires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Genocide.
Our people in the Gaza Strip are facing a war of genocide and massacres committed by the Israeli occupation forces in full view of the entire world.
I say frankly to the American statesmen who are now managing the genocide in Palestine.
I am raising alarm about the possibly catastrophic consequences of large-scale ground operations in Gaza and the potential for thousands more civilians to die.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Worldwide, people are condemning Israel and the inability to stop this war.
We're calling for a ceasefire. You know, I want a ceasefire.
We are here to declare our solidarity with Palestine and the Palestinian people.
The streets have spoken. Some ask, what will protests do for Palestinians? For starters, it has changed the mind of many politicians on Israel. Take the UK, which has held large pro-Palestine protests for 3 weeks in a row.
Ceasefire! Now!
The string of resignations have rocked the UK's Labour Party. It came after party leader Keir Starmer said Israel had the right to cut power and water supplies to Palestinians living in Gaza.
And Israel has every right to defend herself.
In the U.S., pro-Palestinian events have been held across the country. Many Democrats have come out in support of Palestinians over Israel, questioning the U.S. military assistance.
Israel has dropped more bombs in the last 10 days than we dropped in a whole year in Afghanistan.
Let's not forget the Leahy Law, a U.S. human rights law that prohibits the U.S. from providing equipment and training to a foreign entity suspected of committing gross human rights violations. Even some UN members are changing their tune. Like at the UN, condemnations against Israel have come from many European officials. From officials in Spain to EU's Joseph Borrell to Scotland's First Minister Hamza Youssef, who condemned Israel's collective punishment. But the South African Foreign Minister's remarks topped the list.
Why countries like South Africa have been consistent in their support for Palestine and have never deviated from the belief President Mandela held that until the people of Palestine are free, South Africa will not be fully free.
Israel has finally conducted its ground incursions into the Gaza Strip. Apparently, it wants to execute block-by-block warfare. The goal? To destroy Hamas. The human costs will be high. Even Israel has admitted that. The battle will be an extensive one, but there will be a price for that, and we will have a price to pay. But we will go on until we complete this operation to the fullest. This so-called new phase is the second phase out of the three phases that the Israeli Minister of Military Affairs announced a few weeks ago. The first phase, a military bombing campaign. The second, a ground maneuver. And the third, the creation of a new security regime in the Gaza Strip, removing Israel from the responsibility of day-to-day life in the Strip. This third phase raises a lot of questions as to what Gallant meant by a new security regime and the removal of Israel's responsibility for day-to-day life in the Gaza Strip. On the ground operation, Frank McKenzie, retired U.S. Marine four-star general, has said Hamas fighters will seek to draw Israeli forces into a city street fight. He said they will use their tunnel network to get in behind the attack or to attack in all directions to make it very difficult for Israel to effectively employ a technological advantage. Here's a glimpse of the tunnels. They are rather extensive. A complex web, multifunction in scope, and hidden. On Hamas capabilities, this is how Israel was welcomed by Hamas resistance fighters when they entered the Gaza Strip. The shooting of an Israeli armored vehicle with a Kornet ATGM missile in the east of Gaza. Officials and experts are wary that Israel, supposedly having one of the most advanced militaries in the world, with a stockpile of American precision-guided munitions, will get drawn into an urban brawl which it may not handle.
Hamas have a much, much stronger hand, given that they've been building these tunnels over 16 years.
Yeah.
They have been ruling Gaza, and it's a town. They have a town underground that they are in control of, not the Israeli army.
Which brings us to this question. Does Israel even have an end game?
They don't have an end game. They don't have an answer to the crucial question, what will be the day after?
The U.S. does have an end game. Uproot Palestinians, commit another Nakba, send Palestinians to other countries like Egypt, to the Sinai Desert there. Egypt's reward, U.S. debt to be written off. Meanwhile, Palestinians have another image on their mind.
Since October the 7th, Israel has launched a relentless bombing campaign against the people of Gaza. The bombardments have claimed the lives of thousands of innocent Palestinians, most of them women and children. Israel's genocidal war on the people of Palestine has sparked mass rallies across the world. Journalists, activists, and even athletes have joined the growing calls to put an end to the carnage. But most of these voices are being suppressed due to the pressure by Israel and Zionist lobbies. Reports have been circulating at an alarming pace about activists being sacked from their positions, journalists being relieved of their duties, and even athletes being stripped of their contracts. The editor-in-chief of an academic journal said that he was fired from his job after sharing an article about people dying in Gaza. Michael Eisen, a geneticist at the University of California, Berkeley, and the editor of the scientific journal eLife, tweeted to say that he had been informed that he is being replaced as the publication's editor. Egyptian TikToker Karim Kabani said he had been sacked from his job in France because he made three videos on TikTok in support of the people of Palestine. Jackson Frank, who was recently appointed as the Sixers beat writer for Philly Voice, was relieved of his duties after sending out a tweet in solidarity with the people of Palestine. Frank, a vocal supporter of Palestine, in one of his tweets, days after his unceremonious sacking, termed the Israeli atrocities against the people in Gaza as, quote, genocide. In the Canadian city of Ontario, the New Democratic Party, NDP, expelled MPP Sarah Jama from the caucus earlier this week for her statements in support of Palestinians.
Governments and institutions in Canada are trying to use their voice to wait to silence us, to silence workers, students, educators, and peace-loving people who dare to support Palestine. And to every person who's taking a risk to speak up for Palestinian dignity and safety, I see you and I hear you and I am with you. They try hard to silence us, but we know that our words are powerful, and we must continue to speak up, no matter the cost.
In a series of tweets, Sarah Jama called for an immediate ceasefire and de-escalation. Mahad Akhil, one of the top agents in Hollywood, also had to call it quits from her role at the Creative Artists Agency, CAA, after she posted in support of Palestine. And Tanya Singh, a unionist from Minneapolis, said she had been terminated from her job in a union for anti-Semitism over her support for Palestine.
Governments across the world, in an attempt to address anti-Semitism and somehow redress the horrors of the Holocaust, are allowing Israel to get away with apartheid, ethnic cleansing, detention of children, torture, restriction of movement and other freedoms, and the illegal occupation of land. After every genocide, the world cries out, "Never again!" And yet here you see another attempted genocide unfold right in front of your eyes, and you don't just watch on quietly, but actively supporting the oppressor.
Meanwhile, the crisis in Gaza has unveiled Western double standards regarding the issue of Palestinians and their cause. Western nations have tried their best to silence pro-Palestine voices. Germany, for example, has in recent weeks moved hysterically to ban pro-Palestine demonstrations altogether, smearing them as quote-unquote anti-Semitic gatherings. Berlin has violently cracked down on Palestinian activists. French Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin has declared an outright ban on all Palestine-related protests. In addition, those standing in solidarity with the Palestinian cause are also reportedly being stopped, questioned and fined. In the UK, the Rishi Sunak government has come out openly in support of the Israeli regime's genocidal campaign in the besieged Gaza Strip. Home Secretary Suella Braverman insisted that waving the Palestinian flag could amount to inciting racism or violence. At the same time, Prime Minister Sunak demanded all state buildings should display the Israeli flag. The response by the European officials to the massacre in the Gaza Strip and the subsequent intensifications of the siege and the indiscriminate bombing of civilians by Tel Aviv has laid bare the hypocrisy of the European leaders and their blatant bias towards Israel.
We know for sure that we represent the views of the majority of people in Ireland. We represent the views of our Parliament, and we genuinely believe that we represent the views of the majority of European citizens who have taken to the streets in their tens and hundreds of thousands over the past number of days, appalled by the stance of the EU so-called leaders who have been complicit in genocide and ethnic cleansing by allowing Israel to behave as it does.
Just days ago, more than 800 EU officials wrote a letter to the bloc's chief, Ursula von der Leyen, criticizing her uncontrolled support of Israel. The signatories of the letter said there is a seeming indifference demonstrated over the past few days by our institution towards the ongoing massacre of civilians in the Gaza Strip in disregard for human rights and international humanitarian law. The letter represents deep division within the bloc on how to approach the Israel-Gaza war.
The war in Gaza is in its third week, and Israel has been hinting at a ground operation for several days. Israeli forces, backed by heavy deployment of U.S. warships in the region, have taken positions close to the besieged Strip's frontiers, while at the same time warplanes continue to indiscriminately pound Gaza. The regime, however, keeps delaying the ground invasion, citing the need to enhance the readiness of its forces and the issue of the captives. However, informed sources have told Press TV that Israeli forces have actually tried a ground offensive, and that twice. The first try happened on Sunday afternoon, as an Israeli brigade was ambushed by Palestinian resistance forces when trying to enter Gaza's Rafah border. Two bulldozers and a tank belonging to the regime were hit, and some 10 tanks were left as the Israeli soldiers fled for their lives. The second failed ground invasion, Press TV source said, happened hours later on Sunday night. This time, more than 20 Israeli tanks were repelled on the way to Khan Yunis. The regime's military later reported that one soldier was killed and three were injured by an anti-tank missile shot by Hamas during a raid into the Gaza Strip. The Qassam Brigades, the armed wing of Hamas, announced later on its Telegram account that it had pushed Israeli forces back into the occupied territories. The next day, Tel Aviv announced that it had decided to delay the ground war in Gaza, pending the arrival of additional American forces in the region. Meanwhile, Hamas and other Palestinian resistance factions have expressed full readiness for any battle on the ground, warning that Gaza will turn into a graveyard for invaders in the event of a ground offensive.
I think this is part of their plan. We are expecting this to happen. But what we hear from the people, I mean from the military wing, that we believe that if they try to enter Gaza again, it will be the, what we call it, the Maqbara, they will be not only defeated, but they will be buried here in the Gaza Strip.
Following the October 7 surprise operation by Hamas, the delusion of Israel's invincible military and intelligence power was shattered. The Al-Aqsa flood operation demonstrated that Hamas and other resistance groups are totally capable of performing offensive operations. On the other hand, resistance movements across the region have warned that in the event of U.S. intervention, all American outposts in West Asia will turn into legitimate targets. The question remains whether Washington is ready to take this dangerous risk or not.
We have tried to suppress the voice of the Palestinians. Common catchphrases, all-out support for Israel, unwavering support, and the likes. But finally, the world is not buying it. No amount of media coverage can cover up the Israeli crimes, including America's all-out support.
And we stand with the Palestinians, and we stand with Arabs. And they try and change the narrative because you own the narrative, see? This is our problem. You own the narrative. You own the United Nations. You own Hollywood. You own all these mouthpieces. Where are our voices? Our voices need to be heard as well. We've been watching your channel. And instead of mourning our dead, instead of mourning these Palestinian children, we've been having to deal with more dehumanization of Arabs.
And the proof that the tide is turning are in the worldwide protests.
Here just to show the support for our people in Gaza.
What we're experiencing today, it's happening in Palestine, is a genocide.
I'm here because I'm a Jew born in Jerusalem, and I'm horrified and enraged that my government here in the U.S. is sending weapons and money and never-ending, unconditional diplomatic support for Israel.
The world rallying behind Palestinians and Palestine. And it's not because Israel is murdering Palestinians, mostly women and children. Just think about it. How can this war bring out so many people from all corners of the world in such high numbers? It's because the world has been educated. It's informed now. It has witnessed four wars before. And it has seen the daily oppression and killing of Palestinians under an apartheid regime. Now U.S. politicians are speaking in a way that they haven't before.
Congresswoman representing the Massachusetts 7th Congressional District.
Where is your humanity? How do you look at one atrocity and say this is wrong? But you watch as bodies pile up. As neighborhoods are leveled, Israel has dropped more bombs in the last 10 days than we dropped in a whole year in Afghanistan. Where is your humanity? Where is your outrage? Where is your care?
The passion in her voice from an American politician is for life and how it's being snuffed out, taken away with a missile, ones that are made in the USA. Since the war started, 45 cargo planes transported weapons from the U.S. to Israel. Among the military aid, around 1,000 tons of armaments, including 155-millimeter artillery shells, military vehicles, and supplies.
To President Biden and his administration, generations will not forget, and history will be recorded, that it was your administration, your billions of dollars, your support with weapons of mass destruction.
A veteran U.S. State Department official quit over what he described as the Biden administration's intellectual bankruptcy, in which he said Biden is rushing to provide arms to Israel, which is short-sighted, destructive, unjust, and contradictory to the very values that we publicly espouse. A CBS poll asked whether the U.S. should send weapons to Israel. More than half the respondents said that it should not. That is another first. And while we are on first-time occurrences, this is a first. which occurred at the Human Rights Council session in Geneva. The council members turned their back to the American ambassador's speech in Geneva. This happened during her speech preaching about human rights, while America's all-out support and bombs were killing Palestinians as she was speaking.
بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters dear listeners welcome to IRIB English Radio Here we are again with Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that, alhamdulillah, I have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Hussein Ruhullah again in this session with me. So, guys, assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Ali Nasir?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Good job. So, Hassan, how about you?
Alhamdulillah, salam.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Fawad.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
All right. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 7 and Ayah 8 of Surah Al-An'am on page 128. So, brothers and sisters, hope you have your Quran with you. Turn to page 128, Ayah 7 and Ayah 8 of Surah Al-An'am. Let's get started by listening to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولو نزلنا عليك كتابا في قرطاس فلمسوه بأيديهم لقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه ملك ولو أنزلنا ملكا لقضي الأمر ثم لا ينظرون
Nice recitation, MashaAllah. I really loved it. How about you?
Yes, it was beautiful.
So, practice inshallah to recite that way. Make sure when we get to the tajweed parts, listen carefully to learn the tajweed rules and beautify your recitation with each tajweed rule. So, let's see first and foremost what Allah Almighty says in this ayah, a short explanation, inshallah, then we'll move on. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah Almighty says in ayah 7 of Surah Al-An'am, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ And Allah Almighty says, And if we had sent down to you, O Prophet, a book on paper, okay? So the Quran was not sent like a book, okay? The book Quran that we have right now, it was not sent like this, like a hard book, okay? Like a physical one, yes? Now, it was revealed to Prophet, to the heart of the Prophet, and Prophet was reading it, each verse of the Quran to the people, and they were memorizing, they were writing on papers, on stones, on skins of animals, on leaves of the trees, okay? So they were recording them. And yes, Allah Almighty says, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ Look,
the pagans of Mecca, they were not believing the Prophet, yes?
Yes.
And also the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they were not believing, especially the Jews, they were not accepting the Prophet. They were saying, no, this is not the words of God. He's doing magics.
Yes.
God forbid, they were calling the Prophet magician. He's a magician. He's not a prophet. Why? Because he is saying like magic words. Yes? They were calling the prophet magic. And sometimes, God forbid, they were calling prophet like crazy.
So question.
Yes.
The Quran was revealed in a language that people spoke at that time?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so how do they call him a magician?
Because it was really, really like kind of... how do you call it? Miraculous. Yeah. Look, the way Quran says, the beauty that the Quran has, the words of the Quran, how they are set together. Okay, look, for example, you have وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَاءَ. It ends with beautiful sounds, okay? There are many aspects of the miraculous... The Quran being miraculous, okay? First, the literature used in the Quran. This is the best literature, Arabic literature ever. So the people in that time, okay, they did not know how to write, how to read. Only about 17 people in Mecca, they were able to read. From the whole population of Mecca. How many people?
17.
Nearly 17 people. Not 70, 17. 10 plus 7. Prophet ﷺ did not go to any school, did not go to any university, madrasa, there was not. There are some doubts, okay, that they say people, Prophet was the student of Christians and Jews. Come on, stop these kind of superstitions. Okay? So Prophet brought something which is miraculous. The words, how they flew, the beauty that the Quran has in terms of literature, and the meanings that the Quran had. The enemies of the Prophet, those who were denying Prophet, okay? At night, in the midnight, when the Prophet was reciting Quran in his home, so the enemies, during the days, they were denying the Prophet. They were fighting the Prophet. But during the night, they were going next to his house, and they were listening to the sound of the verses of the Quran. They were saying, God, really beautiful, heart-touching. So it was something miraculous for them. And it is miraculous. Quran is miraculous. It has been miraculous and it will be miraculous. It's a fact. Nobody has been able to bring something like Quran. One ayah like Quran. Okay? So they, the people of Mecca at that time, okay, they were so good at poetry. Very good at poetry. Like, every person, okay, was able to share some poems. Kids, women, men, everybody, old ladies, everybody was able to, what? To say poems.
So, you said only 17 could read and write.
Yeah, but poetry, it's not something that you really need to read or write. You hear it from others. Yes? Now, I see it with myself. Going to my imaginations, okay, I can make some poems. Yes or no? They were so active in these terms. But the beauty that the Quran has, it was something miraculous. And they were shocked. What is this? Okay? That's why they were denying it. They were saying, no, it's something magic. And Allah says, look, Prophet, they are denying this. Even if we sent you a book on paper and tell you, oh people, look, this is a book. This is not magic. Book, written. Words are written here. Look, they still will not accept it. Why? I told you in the previous sessions, they have that darkness in their heart. Okay?
Yes.
That's why they don't accept it. That's the reason. So Allah Almighty says, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ. They would touch it. And still they will deny it. إِنْ لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ.
الفيض ضياء آيات المولى. IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه أرضا.
Let's recite the Quran.
So, guys, I hope you refer to the Tafasir books. That's all. We don't have much time. That was a short explanation. Hope you have been introduced at least to this ayah, to the messages of the ayah. Turn to the Tafasir books, inshallah. Learn more. All right. Okay, Hassan, Hussein?
Yes.
All right. Let's recite a salawat and move on to the tajweed parts.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam.
Some of the tajweed rules I will mention. Walau nazzalna alayka kitaban. The rules of tanween and nun sakin, you know them, yes? Four different rules. Ikhfa, idgham, idhar, and?
Iqlab.
So here, Kitaban tanween. The next word starts with fa, tanween plus fa. What rule is applied here?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. You hide the sound of tanween. How do you read it, Ali Nasir?
Kitaban.
Ahsan. Kitaban. Hide the sound. Pronounce nun kitaban, but now hide it. Kitaban. Don't pronounce it correctly.
Yes.
Clearly, I mean. So, في قرطاس فلمسوا the same thing. في قرطاس فلمسوه بأيديهم لقال الذين كفروا إن هذا. You can extend the mad or ignore the mad. إلا سحر مبين. How do you read it? Hassan, سحر مبين. You join it to meme. How do you read it?
Sahrum mubin.
Sihrum mubin. Good job. Extend the sound. Sihrum mubin. Next. Waqalu. Heavy letter. Lawla. You can extend the mad or ignore the mad because harful mad, alif, and hamza are they in the same word?
Yes.
How are you sure?
No.
They are not the same word in the same word.
They're separate words.
A separate word. لو لا ألف is with لا and أنزل. Yes?
Yep.
حمزة is with the word أنزل.
With
so أنزل. For what? You apply the rule إخفاء again, yes? أنزل.
Yes.
Yeah. عليه ملك. صلاة tells us. Huh?
Better to continue.
Better to continue. But you still can make a pause here. ولو أنزلنا again. Hide the sound of noon. Malakan laqudiyya. Hussein, how do you read it? Malakan laqudiyya.
Malakan laqudiyya.
Are you sure?
Malakan.
Are you sure? There is the letter lam after tanween.
Oh, malakan laqudiyya.
Ah, malakan laqudiyya. So you don't.
It doesn't have ghunna.
You don't. Mashallah. You don't extend the sound. Just merge it. Malakan laqudiyya. قضي الأمر ثم extend the sound of meme لا ينظرون ينظرون hide the sound. That's it. Very simple. Let's practice the recitation. All right.
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Take deep breaths, brothers and sisters. Listen and repeat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ولو نزلنا عليك كتابا في قرطاس فلمسوه بأيديهم.
ولو نزلنا عليك كتابا في قرطاس فلمسوه بأيديهم.
فلمسوه بأيديهم لقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين.
فلمسوه بأيديهم لقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين
وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه ملك
وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه ملك
ولو أنزلنا ملكا لقضي الأمر ثم لا ينظرون
ولو أنزلنا ملكا لقضي الأمر ثم لا ينظرون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, hope you stay with us. In the next coming sessions, we'll be there again with you. That was all from us for today. Thank you so much. Thanks, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasser, and Fawad. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevio International Schools Network. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Civilian fatalities mounting as Israel keeps pounding the Gaza Strip. Over 8,500 Palestinians have been killed, more than a third of them children. The Al-Qassam Brigades released the footage showing fierce clashes between Palestinian fighters and Israeli forces north of the Gaza Strip. And Russia blames the U.S. and its allies for Israel's massacre of Palestinians in Gaza, saying that American policy